Like, if you hadn't been by my side at the bed, I don't know if I'd be living. And I'm sorry for seasons of not standing by your side through the hardest part of your life. That will never happen again.
We believe that the best gospel that you can live and exemplify is one that is of a healthy, thriving marriage. But that has not always been our story. I couldn't keep up with who I pretended to be.
The shame overshadowed and masked reality.
This marriage is awful. I want a divorce.
I began to abuse alcohol.
I was overwhelmed with rage. Here I am, a pastor, preaching sermons that are supposed to set someone free, but yet I felt bound myself. You don't have to live in the pain that you've been living in.
Help was so close. It was so close.
Join us as we unravel our story of addiction, redemption, and triumph in our marriage. This is our story.
The definition of recovery is simply to return to something's natural state of mind and strength, to recover what was lost or stolen. That means recovery applies to all of us.
Wow.
So when I began to frame that to the family, for you guys to engage in this recovery journey with me, we created these moments and pockets of time where it became, just as my sobriety became a priority and I went to meetings and I went to counseling, so did our family meetings, wow, our time together. And those family meetings, we had the baton, remember?
Yeah.
We passed a baton along. You can't talk unless you have the baton.
Yeah.
And then we went through all eight basic emotions. Like, this is how God was gonna redeem what was ugly, what was bad in my past, and make it good, was me being able to sit in front of my kids and teach them how to share their emotions and label them, and that it was okay and safe to share the good, bad, and the ugly with mom and dad. And when we would pass that baton around and they would share, I felt unsafe when, or pain when mom was passed out in the bathroom, on the floor all night. I felt unsafe when I heard dad and mom arguing over about alcohol. I felt pain, I felt shame when mom went to rehab. Those were hard things to hear, but the healing it brought my children, they was just, I can't even put it in, quantify it.
Yeah.
Because I sat there and I listened and I cried with them and I empathized and I dried their tears and I didn't try to fix it.
Yeah.
I didn't try to make excuses for it. Mm-hmm. I simply just, we felt as a family. Wow. We allowed ourselves to feel. And let me tell you, over time, you know, you were there.
Yeah.
Like, we watched our family transform before our very eyes to an open, honest family. Like, we dialogue about the good, bad, and the ugly. And it was not easy to hear your kids.
It was not easy.
Share those things. And I haven't exactly had an example where, you know, my parents were quick to admit when they did something wrong. I think it's hard for all humans.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something about the 12-step program of recovery, whether it's through Celebrate Recovery or any type of 12-step study group like AA, NA, Codependent Anonymous. They even have Overeaters Anonymous. There's everything.
Are you trying to get me to go?
But hey, it's beneficial to everyone in terms of recovery, because all it does is, number one, you admit you're powerless over something.
Yeah.
So then the shame and gets lifted off of you, right? God's grace can come in and begin to give you the strength to walk out a program of recovery. What is recovery? Returning to a natural state of mind, strength, taking back what was stolen. And I think about, like, each step in the 12 steps is acknowledging when you're wrong quickly, promptly admitting it. It's asking for forgiveness. It's asking God to take away defects of character in your heart, learning how to examine yourself and give it back to the Lord. And when you're wrong, promptly admit it. Like, this is all retraining my brain how to be honest, how to be vulnerable, how to bring my defects of character, my sin back to the Lord, confessing my sin to him so I can be forgiven, and then confessing my issues to my spouse, my children, my friends, and my group so that I can be healed, yeah. The Bible says. So confess your sins to God that you might be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another. That's where the healing happens.
Healing. And I think that process of confess your sins to God that you may be forgiven. Like, I think there's a lot of people walking around forgiven and not healed.
So true.
Because they don't accept. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. We move from admittance mm-hmm. to accepting mm-hmm. that this is a part of life.
Yeah.
This is a part of God's plan mm-hmm. of redemption. So here we are now, ready to establish a new normal.
Yeah.
Ready to build mm-hmm. from our brokenness. Mm-hmm. Ready to turn this misery into ministry. Ready for that pain to count for more than pain, to count mm-hmm. for purpose in your home. And how did you feel now that this honesty, this admittance, mm-hmm. this openness, this transparency started? How did you feel in that?
Man, so free. Yeah. So free, because I didn't have anything to hide. So I wasn't hiding alcohol anymore. So I wasn't lying about alcohol anymore. And I wasn't experiencing shame.
Yeah.
The shame I felt when I was drinking. And so the more open and honest I was with you about my journey, about my struggles, about my thought life, it was just freeing me by the minute. And it's like a load of bricks was lifted off of my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I just began to see you in a fresh and a new way, see the pain that I caused you, embrace and go into your world and yeah. feel what it felt like to feel betrayed by your spouse.
Yeah.
There was nothing you could say or do that would stop me from drinking.
Yeah.
And the pain that did cause you.
Wow. We begin to see how our differences that were dividing us mm-hmm. started to be a strength that would unite us and bring us together. And I think in that season of, you know, watching you do the work, mm-hmm. watching you every single morning, I came downstairs, start your day with devotions and, mm-hmm. you know, being in the presence of God. It was like your sobriety mm-hmm. was so valuable to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel like I was valued again. It made me feel like our kids were important again, because you said, you know what? I'm going to put guardrails around the thing that caused me to
That's
almost
right.
lose that.
Yeah.
And this one is going to be tough for people who are listening.
Yeah.
That food was just as bad as alcohol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That porn is sin,
mm-hmm.
even if our intimate life wasn't
yeah.
right. And I remember going through that and starting to have these enlightenments
mm-hmm.
as if I was reading scripture for the first time.
Yeah.
As if I was listening to worship songs, not for the lyrics, but rather to apply it to my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was really cool, and because I thought, you know, during that process that, you know, they say that when life becomes unmanageable,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're addicted to something or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and your value system is off.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry and testimony of us walking through this with our kids.
Yeah. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't perfect.
No.
But progress over perfection any day. Like when things would get funky
yeah.
and you would start to feel like we were taking a step back, I would remind you of that. Like, think about how much progress
yeah.
we've made. Like, let's celebrate the wins. Just continue to make deposits and celebrate the good
yeah.
because eventually it will outweigh all of the bad.
Wow.
But we had to literally intentionally focus on that positivity and gratitude, because we had awfulized and catastrophized our relationship and our life for so long.
Yeah.
Reversing that was also just as, it took such a high level of intentionality.
Yeah. I think a part of that forgiveness journey, a part of that honesty journey is just, it also starts with surrender.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that giving up was, that's the only choice I had. But now I realize that giving in to that God still had value in us, giving in to I can't fix this.
Yeah.
Only the grace of God can fix this.
Old timers, as they call them, who have been, you know, strong in their sobriety for a lot of time, they would share wisdom like, you know, your disease of choice, your drug of choice is doing push-ups in the parking lot. You think you're okay. You're doing the work. I'm all good. You put your card down. As soon as you walk out, your addiction is strong, waiting to pounce on you. You know, the Bible says that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's looking, you know, for who he can devour. We have to stay alert and be working on our recovery. Otherwise, we're working on our relapse. So acceptance for me was, this is going to be a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
And you had to accept that. In your this journey of discovering what our new normal was going to be like, you're confronted with so many firsts. The first time I was around alcohol and and not drinking, what was I going to do? You know, I brought you in on that vulnerable moment and said, hey, Jimmy, like, I notice all the alcohol around me. I notice every crisp glass of Chardonnay that I'm seeing a waiter or waitress walk by with. And me, like, opening up that first moment to you for the first time brought you in intimacy, vulnerability, like, you cared for that thing. And you were like, oh, thank you for sharing that with me. Like, then you began to ask me, hey, check in, are you okay? And so we started to build muscle, and I started to get stronger and stronger to the point where I could go into a restaurant and sit anywhere versus before I had to keep my back to the bar just so I wouldn't be distracted.
Wow.
So just bringing you in on those first moments, the first time we had an argument was hard.
Yeah.
Because we were challenged with, are we gonna use our tools? Are we going to actually use the tools we're learning to fight fair? You know, the first time I was around my family and they were celebrating with alcohol, and I'm not going to do that. You know, you helped me prepare for that first. Like, we talked about what I was probably gonna feel.
Yeah.
And I ended up feeling worse than what I even had planned on feeling, but having you as my support, I felt, you know, like, left out. I felt like, oh, everybody else gets to drink and I don't.
I remember us being at a restaurant and you were talking about, like, right now, I can see the bar, right? Mm-hmm. And you were like, but I'm just going to say no. Like, and then I started to care for that. And I would be like, making sure when we go in a restaurant that we don't sit near, so you didn't even have to notice for a while.
Yeah.
Right? It helped me now bring you into a very hard thing for someone who had opened themselves up to pornography to do. And that was, we'd be at the beach or we'd be somewhere at the gym. And I said, hey, babe, I'm struggling right now with these moments.
Yeah.
Because I can see that, you know, she's not properly clothed. Or I can see that this, you know, there's an attraction there, a very human thing.
Yeah.
And you allowed me to express and uncover my humanity. And it literally helped me to not let those moments rob me of holiness.
Wow.
Or a goal or standard that I wanted to have.
Tell
so you were
that.
Training me.
Wow.
Like, you were helping me say, like, man, I'm not bad for noticing.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not bad.
That's good.
For a desire that's human. I'm not bad, because it had nothing to do with us. I had to go on a sobriety journey.
Yeah.
So that my appetite changed.
Yeah.
I had to be honest. And the fact that we were now getting sober and staying sober together, and it really, I am seeing how this blueprint was working out.
Yeah.
Like, you working through your process was the blueprint to help me work through mine. mm-hmm. and how hard you work through yours. I remember now, like, now we got to tackle 2 years later.
It was food. 2 years, 6 months, and you were struggling. We were on vacation, and you were determined, I'm going to, because I had started expressing to you how your weight had impacted our life with the kids. Like, we weren't able to get outside and enjoy things in nature and being at the beach and swimming with you in the water. Like, you held back from all of wow. those types of activities. And I was finally at the place where me and the kids were expressing how much that impacted us. So you made a decision, I'm gonna work out on this vacation.
Yeah, I remember.
And we started working out, and the downside to that was your body wasn't ready, couldn't handle it because you were at your the peak of your weight, 420 pounds, and basically your heart couldn't
That's
handle.
That's a whole lot of man.
Yeah, it is. And let me tell you something, like, your body couldn't handle the workout. Yeah. So you started going into congestive heart failure. And I knew exactly what it was when I saw your ankles and I saw how swollen you were.
My legs were hurting. Yeah. My body was hurting. And I still was preoccupied with food.
Yeah.
Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? I'm now 420 pounds at that time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've ever told you this. Hmm. I didn't just see me. I saw you healthy now and me unhealthy.
Hmm. Wow.
And I was the one who needed rehab. I was the one that could replace alcohol with a chicken wing. Come on.
Yeah.
like I was the one who would drink a 2 liter of Pepsi in the first part of the day and another one in the next part of the day.
Yeah.
And it got to a place where I looked at my kids, I was at Disney, I couldn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And ended up in the hospital as soon as we got back, on the hospital bed. And you looked up at me and you said, will you now let me help you? Mm-hmm. And because you had earned my trust through all of the work. The person that I almost gave up on, I now needed it, the strength of her. And I'm so glad that I didn't leave the old Irene and not have an opportunity for the new Irene, because the new Irene became my trainer. The new Irene became my strength. Mm-hmm. The new Irene told me, hey buddy, you know, every meal doesn't need to be a party in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And you said you need help. And my rehab was the gastric sleeve.
That's right.
And I went and got help. Mm-hmm. And now I've lost 150 pounds.
Yeah.
Now I probably gained like 20 back since, because it's been since 2017. Yeah. But I'm looking better than ever. Come
yes,
on, girl.
Yes, you are.
My hands
are fine, chocolate man.
I'll kiss you.
I always knew this guy was inside there.
Wow.
I always knew. Thank you. And I'm grateful that the willingness inside of you woke up, the willingness to get well, the willingness to do the work. It wasn't easy getting gastric sleeve surgery.
Yeah.
People think surgery is the easy way out. It was not.
It was my rehab.
It was your rehab. The thing is, you couldn't do it by yourself.
No.
And I think accepting that it was okay that you needed help, you needed a tool, was part of your process of recovery. Acknowledging that you could not do it on your own. How many things have we tried? Just like an addict tries to stop drinking, you had tried Jenny Craig.
Come on.
What was the other thing, surgery you got?
We can go with the the lat band.
Lat band.
Yeah.
Then you had to have that removed.
Cabbage soup
diet. Like, we had done everything. Atkins. Like, everything.
Oh, you can stop there.
Okay. Yeah, but point being, this new way of life, you immediately started enjoying it. Like, your sleep apnea stopped the day after surgery.
Yeah.
Like, you were breathing and sleeping through the night, resting and like feeling confident and good about yourself, shopping in a regular store, not just the big man store.
Wow.
Like, these are massive things worth celebrating.
You don't have to say massive.
I mean, you know, like, whatever.
These
you know
are
what
great
I'm saying?
Things. You know,
these are great, great things that we got to enjoy together. Like, you know, you really enjoy shopping now, and you know what? You deserve it.
Yeah.
You shopped for 20 years in one store.
Yeah.
And we get to enjoy life. You get to play golf. I get to not drink, and you get to have control over your food. I think that's a good thing.
I want to apologize for something. I realized as you were talking, even in this moment, maybe I've never even thought about this. I just imagine if you had the attitude that I had when you were at your worst. If you'd have been like, our marriage is over because he's overweight. Our marriage is over because he has a food addiction. If there's any resentment still left with that, if there's any things that are hard in that, like if you hadn't been by my side at the bed, I don't know if I'd be living. And I'm sorry for seasons of not standing by your side through the hardest part of your life. That will never happen again. I've had to, through the years, talk to the Jimmy. 2 years from now, 5 years from the future Jimmy.
Yeah.
That if my wife drank again, that I'd love her through it. And I'd want her to know that I'm standing by her side no matter what. And I just want, if there's any pressure that your recovery is performing for me, I want to take the pressure off.
Wow.
And I want to say thank you for showing me how to love me through my junk.
Is where the power of Christ is perfected in us. And when I stood up in front of the church, I was finally able to say to them, now I can boast.
We all have to be on the lookout. I think that life happens to us all.
That's right.
And I really feel like that this is not really a story of how to recover from addiction. This is a story of how to recover and admit dysfunction.
Yeah.